Hawks got Washington this weekend. We are bringing you into that weekend with the 5-10-5 show, but this team is coming off of a big loss on a national stage to Ohio State. How do 18 to 22-year-old kids manage their response emotionally to some serious adversity, a serious exposure of a gap between them and another program? We talk about that. We also discuss the weekly schedule and where your off day should be and a lot more. Let's have a day. Let's go. Baseball guy?
No. I just like having the baseball hat on, you know. And here's a true story. So any of our listeners out there, at my last job, Towson, the guy that was our he was in charge of the weight room. And the head basketball guy and I and a couple of my assistants, we like to wear hats, right? Like Doyle used to wear a hat in the weight room. Like, it's not a big deal to wear a hat when we're like we're working at athletics. And he's like, we're not gonna wear hats. It's not professional to wear hats. And I'm like, I at first was like, come on, what are we talking about? And then I was like, he's like, no, I'm serious. He's like, okay, what's next? Like, we all have to wear matching colored shirts, like, and then a polo. Like, what are we talking about, man? Like, we're lifting weights. And I asked the players, I was like, when I wear a hat, do you think I'm less professional? To like, the answers that they said was like, it makes no sense that you're not a professional if you have a hat on. So there's an aside for everybody.
Welcome into the podcast. We're going to talk about hats today.
That sounds like something KF would say. Oh, yeah, we're just going to talk about hats.
All right, everybody, we're going to get going here. All right. First off, we're going to get a bunch of guys wearing hats.
Can we grow up?
We went over this in the beginning of the year. All
right. I've been getting a lot of we've had no questions or anything about hats, by the way. So to just 90 seconds of hats. I think Justin looks good in a hat.
Appreciate it.
Is that a team hat? Is that a Boston Red Sox hat?
No, get ready for your mind to be blown.
You're a Yankees fan.
So it's a Yankee hat. I grew up a Yankee fan. And for some reason, just having the Yankee fitted, Jay-Z's my favorite rapper. He's got in one of his songs, he's like the blue Yankee fitted. And I'm like, you know what? There it is.
The blue Yankee fitted. Man, we're like, I don't listen to music anyway. Actually, I have been listening to music more often. Like when I really have to like drop the hammer.
Yeah.
But most of the time I listen to podcasts.
Same.
When I'm training. I just see it as like an efficiency thing. Like I hate.
Couldn't agree more.
I think maybe we talked about this already. I personally will, that sip of coffee just made me like, that was like almost, that was Pavlovian right there. I think I need to go make another latte this morning. I can't like, I have all these podcasts that I like that are, you know, whether they're like hobby podcasts, I like listening to CrossFit podcasts. I have Mind Pump. There's some strength conditioning stuff. Like, and I feel like I learn a lot. Like that's my learning.
Yep.
Nowadays. And if I don't listen to them, I have enough to like fill basically all the time during my week. And if I don't listen to them, I feel like I left something on the table. Like yeah. I, like to the point where like when I drop the kid off at daycare, I immediately turn the podcast on the way home.
That was my question.
Immediately. Not when she's in the car, because we talk back and forth. She's starting to talk a little bit. So, you know, we have these, she at least can give one word answers, or we'll talk about like, oh, you see the bus? Like she loves school buses on the way there.
She have a Spotify playlist that you play?
No. No, we don't. No, if she really is like very content, just looking out the window and seeing stuff that's happening in the morning. And if she's like, she gets a little whiny, like, you know, you give her a stuffed animal, or, you know, every once in a while, if it's like a half hour ride or more, then we'll throw her like the phone, put on some, I don't know, Rachel or any Paw Patrol, Wiggles, whatever. But yeah, like if I, like when I'm making breakfast, like 45 minutes ago, I was like making eggs. I've got the podcast on. Like if I don't have a podcast on, I feel like I'm like, I'm wasting my time. If I'm not listening to a podcast and doing whatever I'm doing, it like hurts me, like it hurts my soul. So, yeah, I'm the Yankees, the blue fitted. I'm gonna have to I'll have to get one of those. Since I've never been a hat guy, but as my hair got worse and worse, and like it was just like, oh boy, I would wear hats, and now I have to wear like if I wear a hat, the go to is a bucket hat.
Okay,
like in the summer.
That was a big deal when we made the, you know, when we would get you guys hats, because we'd always do a hat or a shirt, right, in the off season. You guys apparently always loved them, and we did regular hats for a while. And then I remember Kittle wanted a bucket hat, and like Josie and some other guys. And so like I went into the staff
guys who had
like,
pull.
Yeah, I was like, hey, coach, like, you know, guys want a bucket hat this year. He's like, oh, fuck. I was like,
actually, right, I found these hats. Found this guy.
Oh yeah.
Has never.
Hold on, I'm gonna one up you.
Okay. I think I know where you're going, and I have. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
I have the.
So I've got the
championship one here too.
Those hats, those white gray ones that we got, those were after the Purdue game, right?
Yeah, and I didn't agree with not letting you guys have the trophy. Like I didn't believe in that one, but that was above my pay grade.
Did they not have the trophy there?
No, they didn't want the West trophy. Like somebody was like, oh, you know, like in hockey, they don't have the trophy. I was like, we're not playing hockey. Like, but.
So one of the better hats we've ever gotten. This is a fitted as well.
Oh, yes. I was so jealous of that hat. Yeah.
This hat is.
That's gorgeous.
That's about as clean as it gets. I mean, yeah, we got absolutely fucking rocked.
Nobody needs to know that. We're about almost 10 years away from that.
I think everybody remembers. It's hard not to. The Rose Bowl hat is good. And then I think we got a hat in my last year that I just found because I put up like a hat hanger in my closet. This episode is just like full of fucking elite stuff, by the way. It's the best. It just says Iowa football on it in gold, like block lettering. And then it's got the Nike swoosh on the side, and it's a fitted flat bill. Man, it's clean. And I just never wear hats. Like, they're so irrelevant to my life. Anyway, this is what you talk about when you get blown out 35-7.
Oof.
Brutal.
First half was good, though.
The first half was good.
Listen, anybody that, like, come on now. Anybody that's listening to this, you know that that's an Iowa first half against a good team. It's 7-0. The defense makes turnovers. You're in the game. It's got the reminiscence of other close games. Like, sure, it wasn't 8-6 against Michigan, but you're in it. You're going into the locker room saying, hey, let's get it together. You know, we're in this. It's a 1-point or one possession game. And then it just unraveled.
Yeah. Well, and it's almost like you're fighting against what eventually did happen. That just absolute, and it was even worse. It was exacerbated because of the turnovers in their territory. Like, I don't care if it's Ohio State or
Northwestern.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. If you start a possession, you get the kickoff first play on the one specifically. Cade steps up into the pocket and maybe goes to run, or I don't know if he was going to try and pass, but the ball gets knocked out of his hands and they recover it on like the 27. Like, they have 27 yards to go. Like, it doesn't matter that they have the most explosive offense in the country. Like, a non-explosive offense is probably going to score points there. So turnovers are brutal, but especially when they happen there. People hate it meshes into the style that Iowa football is known for, but they hate the, a lot of the complaints this week have been, Iowa/KF play to not lose the game, especially versus these big opponents. All they're trying to do is keep it close so that they're close in the second half. And like, I get it. I don't know if what they're asking for is like, we should try and win and beat them as it like, or play the game and score points on them like we would any other team. I understand that idea, but like, knowing what it's like to play those teams, knowing the roster, like how many stars their roster has versus ours, and like just the general talent and general output of what those two teams are going to do. Like, I hate to say it, but like, I think the best way to do it, unless you just come out and you are for some reason scoring and you're able to go up 7 or 14 points and it just naturally happens, forcing a game plan where you're trying to be super aggressive against a team that's going to make you pay for it, I just don't know if I agree with that. Like, I going into at halftime 7-0 was like, this is exactly what we wanted. It's exactly what you want. I don't know. The one thing that I don't know how much strength conditioning talk we can really pull from this game. I do find it interesting, or maybe would be interested in your opinion of like a roster that's so stacked loaded like that. What the difference is when you see guys, what are this individual differences that you see in guys that come in with that much talent out of high school? Like, what is different about them that you wouldn't see in the versus like maybe like, you know, the kids from the farm towns in Iowa that come in? What physically and you know, movement pattern wise, like what is different, if anything?
You can just see when a kid comes in, and you know they're different, right? Like, you can just see it and feel it, and they're ranked higher. You know, they have their stars or whatever, and it's just in the very simple things that we've talked about before, where you're constantly evaluating. So in the warm up, you're like, oh wow, that looks clean. Oh yeah, look at that. Like, hey, they get into the weight room, and man, their hips look snappy doing this, and they've got awesome mobility here. Or man, do you watch them jump? Like, seeing a young Tristan Wirfs do a broad jump 9 feet at that instant eight, you're just like, what? Oh my gosh. Or this kid, Jesus Gibbs, that was a transfer from South Carolina that we got at Towson. And you just see him do a forward roll into a jump and you're like, you got it. Right. So when you see those kids, you know that they have something, they've been blessed physically and they have that gift. So you push them differently because the bar is different for them in terms of their athleticism. You know, you're obviously trying to get the most out of them. You're trying to get the most out of every kid genetically. The big takeaway from me, from the strength and conditioning side, is kind of goes back to the psychology episode of you're now, you always tell the kids, avoid the noise, but at some point there's a signal coming through the noise. And the signal that you are worried about is, man, we haven't beaten a ranked opponent and it hasn't happened in a while. Yeah. And we have a good team and we are good guys, but we keep turning the ball over. And like, that happened to me at Towson in 21. Like, we had a very healthy team. We had that kid, Jesus Gibbs, I talked about. We had all the Caleb Smith, these, you know, guys that made Bruce Feldman's freak list. Right. Because they would do those things. But our quarterback's turning the ball over. And then you start hearing the griping. And you, as the head strength coach, you tell your assistants, hey, be aware, like, because they're going to have different relationships. And then you just start to gather data. And you just, it's a tough situation, because let's not forget that the weight room is therapy. You've kind of talked about it before, how good it feels. So when the guys are in the weight room, their guards are going to be down. They're going to talk to each other about how they feel. Yeah. And that's one thing that you got to be, you have to be proactive about, because you got to nip it in the butt.
It's maybe the most fascinating thing to me. It's just like, so, and it is quantifiable. Like, if you have guys test, they run a certain rep drill, or they lift a certain amount of weight. But like, there's almost an unquantifiable way and just set of things that like true athletes do, the way that they move. I personally haven't experienced a lot of that, a little bit in the change of direction that I always brag about. That's my one thing. And I think when people watched me, I hope that when people watched me do a 5-10-5 drill, which was my one single thing that I could compete with, they were just like, my one goal was, I just wanted people to think, there's no reason why this guy looks like that but moves like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would not look at me and then you watch me do a 5-10-5 and you're like, but how is he cutting so fast? And like, what? Why is his time? It doesn't make sense. And everything Josh Jackson did, when I immediately think of like Ohio State, this roster that we just played, they have an entire roster, 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense, full of Josh Jacksons and Noah Fants and whoever else.
Hawkinson.
Just these guys that like, they don't necessarily do or work any harder than some of these other guys. Sometimes they do, but that hard work isn't what's giving them this special gift. It's just something that they have. Like, I watched Noah Fant drag Josie in a harness tug of war. And like, Josie in our class was like, yeah, you don't want to go up against Josie. Like, he's the farm kid who's literally going to drag you to the other side of the farm. And Josie got absolutely bitched by Noah Fant. And Noah was like a freshman who weighed less at the time, I think. And I was like, oh no, like that's true power and just natural athleticism and gift. Watching Josh do anything, like I said, was just like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, this kid just, he's got different inside genetics that help him do this. And when you play a roster full of those guys, that is demoralizing. Like, that is tough. Especially when, because then it gets to the whole hard work can beat talent when talent doesn't work hard. Well, what if talent does work hard though? You know, like,
that's the beauty. And like, that's what you're chasing is my offensive line coach. Oh, he always said, you can give it talent, but you can't give talent it. And when you run into that, and like, that's the thing, like, you have to be that switched on, and you have to, if you're going to have a chance, you have to do every little thing right. And you can't have those turn. And then, so the reason that I bring it up is because like, if, okay, man, a penalty, like, you can only be positive for so long. Cause then after a while, now you're truly our line. And it's like, come on, guy, hey, we still got this. It's like, bro, it's 21, nothing now. We just turn the ball over again. Like, shut up. We got to take this medicine, and you got to sit back and let them take it.
Is that tough for, as the strength coach, you're in a spot where you guys were in this weird spot where, you know, shit's getting out of hand.
Yep.
But part of your job is part of everybody's job, right? Is to keep it together, like be mature, keep it together. And at bare minimum on the outside, make it look like with your words and your body language, make it look like you're still in this, you're still focused, you're still head forward towards the goal. But like, you're walking up and down the sideline and you're like, we're getting this ass beat right now. And I don't know if there's anything I can say as a strength coach that's going to make this any better. Like, what is that like?
You just find the positives that won't show up in the play sheet. You know, so let's say a running back makes let's say the right guard gets beat really bad, but the running back does a great job chipping and the quarterback can throw the ball. And you're like, hey, running back, great job doing your job. That's not going to show up. And you find those little positives, because when you're getting beat like that, sure, you might have a moment, one of the players, they might get sad and discouraged, but how do they then respond from it? Because you're going to learn a lot from them. And if they're not, you know, fighting back in a situation like that, then that's going to show you even more. And you don't completely write people off. You're like, huh, that's interesting. I didn't think so-and-so would show that color. And then you just download it. And we talked about it before. You sometimes have to act like you won after a loss. So you start to find those positive plays that did happen. And then now you're spinning it, because you're like, hey man, we got Washington that just beat a top 10 team coming in, and they're 4-2. They went to the national championship last year. If they're not licking their chops thinking that they're coming into Kinnick to do something with a big noon kickoff, you're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the finding the details, you have to get a little bit more nuanced probably, because a lot of the time, if things are going well for you guys, you can just kind of ride that general flow of like, hey, everybody's kicking ass right now. Just more generalized statements, more generalized support to the guys. But like, you can't ride that when stuff starts to go poorly, because there's a reason something's going bad. And more than likely, some guys are going to be doing good and some guys are going to be closer to the reason that things are going bad. And if you start to shout out generalized, you know, support and hype for guys, they're going to know like, oh, this guy's totally bullshitting. He knows that like, the line's not blocking right now.
And you can't lie, because the kids will know. And you can't, I was gonna ask,
did you ever catch yourself like saying something, or like one of the guys looked at you in the middle of you trying to like hype somebody up and they're like, dude, come on?
No, because I think I had a really, like, I had a good pulse on knowing the reality, because like, I had, you know, four assistants and myself, so five. and I'd take in their information. So I would trust what my assistants were telling me. So I would know if, you know, the defense was mad at this group or whatnot, because I had people filling me in. So I would apparently what I used to do is I would say the things that the position coaches wouldn't say. Like if we're playing terrible, I'd be like, you know, I called it my Sunday sermon or whatever, because I'd have the opportunity to talk to the whole team before they go to the team meeting. And I'm like, listen, we didn't play well. Move on. Like, but here's the thing. This is your day to be sad about it.
Yeah.
I wanted them to have Sundays off so they can, everybody can get away and detach. That wasn't the case. All right, we're here. This is your day to be sad, mope around, whatever, but we've got to put it behind you the next day. And you can't, you have to praise in public and, you know, correct in privacy. So it'd be like, hey, okay. Yeah. You know what? O-line, you are not blocking well right now. Own it. We talked about it in the slight edge, the man in the mirror. Like, don't, like, okay, if you're doing bad, fix it, own it and fix it.
Yeah. The emotional side of the game is,
it's real.
Yeah. It's real. It's like sort of underrated too, because fans don't, they do, fans think about that. They see celebrations. They see like the good parts, and every once in a while they'll see the blow ups. Like, I don't know if you caught the, at the end of the Alabama game, that kid kicking the ball. Oh man, he would have Doyle might have fucking murdered this kid on the field, Justin.
What happened?
I'm gonna find.
Hold on, no. It was 29 at the end of the game. Like he was mad about something.
Nah, dude. Because I can edit. For anybody watching the YouTube video, you're gonna take 30 seconds here to just like grab another coffee for yourself or whatever. On the audio version, you guys will just, it'll literally cut right to it. But I'm going to find this and you. So this kid's name is Malachi Moore.
Huh.
He's a D-back for Alabama. And obviously, for those that don't know, Alabama just got upset by.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. They just got upset by
Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
The fighting Tyler Barnes.
He is at Vandy, isn't he?
No, Tyler was. He was at Vandy.
Or he was at Vandy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was with Franklin and then came back.
Okay, let me see if I can share this.
Okay.
Hard, tough video here. This is the end of the game. They just got a first down, so there's a minute 10 left on the clock. They just got a first down. Alabama's officially lost the game. Vanderbilt's just kneeing it out right now. He throws his mouth guard. Oh, and it's just, it cuts it off there. So after this, he throws his mouth guard. He's bitching out his other players, like basically throwing a hissy fit on the field. The ref... they had just need it. The ref grabs the ball, goes to set it back down. He goes up to the ball, like all the line. He goes up in between the linemen, kicks the ball.
Oh, God.
That's like
terrible.
But like the emotional side of the game, right? Like some of, you have to remember the, like as fans, who fans aren't great at, you know, managing their emotions either. We learn. I learned that after every Hawkeye win. Like some of the shit that is said on Twitter is just, it's unbelievable. Like, and I know a lot of times alcohol is mixed with that too.
True. So
there's, it's just like a bad combination. You should just keep yourself off social media. But these kids, some of them are literally 18. Like the two best receivers in the country right now are 17 and 18 years old.
Yep.
The guy from the one we just played who one-handed it.
That was.
I mean, that's just like, that. You watch those plays and you're like, okay, we're not.
37 was outclassed. Like you could just kind of tell, which is, I mean, this is a learning moment for him.
And then the guy from Alabama that's making unbelievable plays.
Yep.
They're literally kids.
Correct.
As I've gotten older through the 20s, now 30, every year more and more, and this is probably natural and it's not necessarily reality, but like the more and more you feel like, oh, if it doesn't matter if you're 21, you're still a kid. Like anybody in college is still a kid. Hell, even people that are like young adults, 23, 24, 25, those are still kids.
Yep.
I feel like at 30, like I'm actually not a kid anymore, unfortunately.
I mean, if you don't have a child, if you don't have a kid and you're 30 and you're still like, yeah.
You could still be living the life as a kid.
But you're not, no.
Yeah, at 30, you're not really a kid though. But at 17, 18, I mean, these kids were literally... we talked about it earlier this year when the Reese Vandersee had a great first game. He wasn't even at spring ball. He was at prom.
Yep.
These guys don't even know how to manage their emotions necessarily. like they're still figuring out their own emotional. They have all the they each one of these kids has their own past, their own childhood that they grew up with, their own potential traumas that they're bringing. What happens when a coach gets in their face? What happens when they hit really bad adversity on the field? What happens when they get embarrassed on a play? And like part of a strength coach's job, like aside from also the regular football staff, like part of a coach's job is to help these kids in response to like tough situations and like leading them through that. And it's such like a, no one ever sees that part of it, but you're really dealing with some like mind fuck on the sideline with a lot of times. Like yeah, there was
in something like that, like you gotta, you know, you, it's almost better that he didn't like that. They didn't come off the field right away. Like let everybody calm down. Right. Like, cause the coaches I'm sure were mad. And I'm sure the kid was mad and shoot, today's Tuesday. I'm sure by now he probably regretted it on Sunday and Monday, which is just why I so advocate for players having Sunday off, players and coaches. Everybody just needs to detach it. Yeah. You need to switch the Thursday and Sunday. It has to be off.
Really?
Everybody. It has to be. It cannot, you cannot come in on Sunday. You can't, it needs to be off.
Really? That's your opinion. Is you just,
it has to be off. And I've been trying to, I tried to change it at Towson since COVID. And it needs to change. It cannot be like Thursday. You can do it right. Thursday does not need to be the day off. Thursday should not be the day off. It should be Sunday, and Thursday can be a no sweat day. It can be a, you could call it yoga, FRC, because you understand that stuff, you know, accessory movements, but like that's your day to, you know, bro out and feel really good. But you cannot, you need to have Sunday off.
So switch the, so for those listening in a football schedule, you get, I imagine everybody does it this way. Everybody gets one full day off during the week. It's like one complete off day, no football, no nothing, basically.
Which is even more why it needs to be Sunday, because what do you have to do on Thursday? Go to school.
Oh, yeah.
You still have to go to school. So you never get a day to just be a human.
True. Yeah. I didn't think about that. I was going to say, a lot of times I wasn't going to school on Thursday anyway. Yeah. So everybody gets one full day off from football activity. And then, and when I came into Iowa City in 2013, the original way they did this was Mondays, which maybe is the worst option for that. There's just like no reason for Monday to be an off day. But so Monday was our off day. So we would come in on Sundays, and we still would once we switched the schedule. You'd do like a recap, you know, first watch of the film, shakeout run, all this stuff, and then bounce out of there. It was usually like 2 hours worth of stuff, 2 to 3, depending on what group you're in. Because if you're in the young group that we talked about before, you're actually in there lifting beforehand. Like a pretty hard lift sometimes we'd walk in there.
Bro, we're doing quarter rack squats, like 600 pounds.
Guys are just in there grinding. I'm just like, oh, God, glad I'm not in the developmental card. Then Monday, you just have like a full off day. And early on, especially for the freshmen, you're just like, all right, I'm headed to the learning center. I'm going to log in. I'm going to open my laptop, plug the charger into the laptop, make sure I got enough juice, and I'm going to get through 3 or 4 episodes of my favorite so I can log my learning center hours. No football, no meetings, no practice on Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, practice days, and then fast Friday. Eventually, we move that off day to Thursday, which is better than Monday, in your opinion.
Yes. Yes and no. Because you could make a case for, it depends on what you do on Sunday, that it could be really good to let you have even longer recovery.
So you don't think there's any value in like shaking out the legs on a run?
No, I don't. I don't, because especially with the run, based off of like, you like you at your position, yeah, but be a running back, be a quarterback, be, I mean, shoot, be your brother playing both. And I know not everybody plays both ways, but be your brother, play both ways, high school football, and then go do a shakeout. Be the running back, be Josie, be somebody that has a lot of contact. The last thing you want to do is pound on your feet.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't be doing a shakeout run. You should, if you want to do something, educate the kids on, hey, here's a home mobility program that you can do. You talk about the fact that kids used to love being like, some kids' family would drive to a game. Now on Sunday, guess what the kids can do? They can have a meal with, they can fill up and spend time with their family on Sunday. And then you don't have to do anything until, like, we talked on these shows before about a high CNS day and a low CNS day. Now your high days can stay high, your low days can stay low. You can truly have an off day, make Monday a low CNS day. So what we did at Towson was we had our upper body lift was actually on Monday because they were still recovering from the game. So that's what you make it on Monday. Low CNS, upper body, you're getting pumped, you're feeling good.
Yeah.
Tuesday's a high day at practice. Wednesday is your lower body lift day. And then Thursday, you can FRC them, you can stretch them. If you have a facility like Iowa's, you can cold tub everybody, you can hot, like you can do, you can get really good about it, right? And like, I just can't stand this whole notion of it ain't broke, don't fix it, because it's like, well, you can always change. We talked about it again before. It's about the principle. The principle will never change, but the methodology will change. So like the back squat versus a goblet squat, if somebody was hurt or training age. Okay. Like you can change your methodology or your principle if it has to, but the methodology should always be willing to change.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You can never close it down. If you close something down, it mentally, like, oh, this is just the way it has to be. Like, that's probably bad. I was going to say, on Sundays, I think your best, I think the best look, and of course, it's going to be tough with compliance because not everybody's going to do it. Because again, like we just talked about, you're working with 17, 18 to 22 year old kids who are like, I'm not doing this. But I think the best thing would be like a 20 minute, like MOB, just like static stretching, some rolling, like anything to feel good. So take them through 15 to 20 minutes of like a static MOB session, like a little bit of soft tissue work on your own with a lacrosse ball or a foot roller at home. Like I literally have a foot roller on my desk right now. Yeah.
Already.
Like that feels really good. Like I love doing that after like a hard day of training or session. And it was a thing where at our house in college, all of the girlfriends at the time would just like hang out at the house on Sunday when we would go to football for 3 hours because they'd stick around. Some of them lived and were going to Iowa, but like my girlfriend, now wife, it always sucked because I'd have to leave at like noon.
Exactly.
We couldn't get lunch together. She would just hang out at my house and like, I don't know, study her school stuff or go to the mall or something. And then like, I'd come back, we'd hang out, we'd do like an early dinner and she'd leave and go back to, she went to Central. And it was so annoying because it was like, we get Sunday, but we don't really get Sunday.
And we talked don't really get Thursday because you're going to school.
We talked about the bye week before the bye week. We talked about how like filling that cup is so important and like being able to like de-stress and like hanging with your family, especially if you're from far away and they like aren't going to be there. Yeah. I agree with that. I actually agree with that a lot. I never thought
you can fill your cup on a weekly basis smaller.
Yeah.
Like the kids from Chicago or even the kids from Northwest Iowa. Like, dude, when I presented at a clinic in Northwest Iowa and that was a 3.5 hour drive for me and I'm in Ankeny. Like,
yeah. Josie would make that drive and like sacrifice sleep so that he could go be at home freshman year. There were nights where we'd have an 11 o'clock game. And Josie wasn't playing yet. Josie would at 3 o'clock hop in the car and go back home.
Jeez.
For like, you know, he'd get there at like dinner. He'd hang out from like 6 to 10. He'd wake up, drive back over to make it by he would be home for like less than 12 hours, basically. Or like 14 hours. And he would make that drive like 2.5 hours to Decorah and back. And he would, for a while, he did it like every weekend because he just wanted to be home and with his family. And yeah, it it doesn't necessitate you having to wait 6 weeks for a bye week so you can finally see your girlfriend or your family or get away from football. Yeah, you're right. I like it. I like it. Thursday you would just make into like kind of would fill like Sunday's gap, or you would do.
Yeah. And you can move like you, some places call it no sweat Thursday, but you just do instead of meetings in the like, okay, now by this point you had Sunday off, Monday you're installing, you're making your corrections. You're talking about whatever the new opponent. So for us, we're in this case, all right, hey, this is what went wrong with Ohio State, blah, 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 blah. This is what we're going to introduce Washington. Then you practiced Washington Tuesday. You practiced Washington Wednesday. Hey, y'all, Thursday, let's look at the film. Here's what went wrong in practice. Here's what Washington does. Now let's go onto the field and walk through it.
Yeah.
Hey, you've been mobbed a little bit by being on the field and walking. Guess what? Now let's stay out there, whether it's offense or defense or the whole team. You got six strength coaches. Hey, half the strength coaches take the offense over here, take the defense over here. You can do FRC. You can get 90-90 external, internal, shoulder, pails, rails, all the things. You can foam roll them, stretch them when they're done, give them a meal, go about your day.
And then Fast Friday, similar.
So much better now. Because think about this. You said it before, Fast Friday, if somebody messed up a play, it's like the end of the world. Well, somebody messed up a play because, yes, body-wise, they had 48 hours and it's good for them. But maybe they weren't in their playbook because they wanted to finally detach. Yeah. Well, now they've been in their playbook less than 24 hours ago. Yeah. So now they don't make the same mental mistakes and they're better.
Yeah, they get a mental touch point in between Wednesday and Friday. Yeah,
bro, I tried so hard to get this change made since COVID. Like, if I showed you the PowerPoint,
do you know of anybody who does it
that way?
Yeah.
So that was the frustrating part about being let go at Towson, was that's what they were going to go to. Like, this head coach was going to Sundays off. I don't know what he was going to do on Thursdays because he wanted to lift Tuesday, Thursday. And I'm just like, that's terrible. But at least he was going to give him Thursday off. So I have not heard of it. I heard of some schools that literally do force plate jumping with their players on Sunday after a game to determine what they do for recovery on Monday. I was like, why are you going to force plate jump everybody when you know it's going to say that they're fatigued from playing a game?
Hey, like, I'll give you the stats. Ready? They're all tired.
Exactly. I was like, what are you doing? Like, you just don't do it then. Like, sure, maybe. You know, maybe you do it Tuesday, Wednesday, like how we used to weigh you guys out on Wednesday after practice to like be a touch. So it's like, okay, in the middle of the Wednesday lift, if you're going to vertical jump everybody, cool. But Sunday after a game, like, I'll tell you what it's going to say. They're gassed.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be.
CNS is like, even if you feel good, like you subjectively get from a player like, yeah, I feel all right today. Like, I played a game. I'm a little tired, but I feel pretty good. And then like, if you test them, we talk about grip strength or like a force plate jump or XYZ test to kind of like test their CNS. You're like, yeah, you're not good. You're actually not good. It's funny, especially those guys who are like mentally tough and they're like, yeah, I'm good.
Which is why you need the force plate instead of just a jump mat, because the force plate will tell you your eccentric rate of force development, which will tell you like how you're actually loading your body. Sure, you might get the same jump number, the jump height, but how you produce it will help show your central nervous system fatigue.
Yeah, man. Well, Washington's a big test.
Yeah.
They're not as bad as people thought they were going to be.
Nope.
I think they replaced almost every starter because they had a bunch of those six COVID years. New coaching staff, went to Alabama, took a bunch of players with them, a bunch of guys transferred out, transfer portal, all this stuff. So people thought like, wow, completely new, and they're 4-2, right? And they should be potentially 6-0, because I think they lost to Wazoo, like in a burner, and then I forget.
They lost to a Rutgers that, you know, they went Rutgers, from,
yeah,
and it was like they went to Rutgers. And I mean, everybody hears Rutgers, but it's like Rutgers was undefeated at the time and only lost to undefeated Indiana. So
Rutgers is
Shiano Rutgers is a lot different than regular Rutgers. Let's also say it that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's about to be this week. There's about to be a lot of games that are like between some past haves and have nots that, like, I think Wisconsin plays Rutgers, and Rutgers could definitely win that bowl game. There's a few other games as well. Got to get back on the horse.
3-2, you cannot, you like, and that's what I'm saying. In the weight room, you're hearing it. You're like, man, 3-3 doesn't sound nearly as good as 4-2. Like,
yeah.
That's the reality in the weight room right now, and you're doing everything that you can to help shape that culture so it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I think emotionally, going back to that part of this episode, a lot of the fans are also going to feel better if you win the game. Like, winning masks a lot of the stink, right? It's the best cure. And it's the same for the players. Like, when those guys can go back, get another win at home, good opportunity. They're favored in this game. I know Vegas doesn't mean shit, but they usually know what they're kind of talking about generally. Everybody's going to flip their script again and be like, okay, we got to win. You know, that's a good win against Washington, new team in the conference. They beat Michigan. They're not a bad team this year. And then it's like, yeah, we can go 10-2. Like, the immediate focus is like, hey, we can be 10-2, right?
Good.
That's the best they could be right now, is 10-2 at the end of the year. So that's what the goal is. Amen. That's all we got. That's all we got on this beautiful Tuesday morning. You guys will hear this on Friday morning, and then it will take you into the game, early one tomorrow, 11 o'clock. Big noon kickoff, like you said.
Amen.
It's going to be rocking in Iowa City. We'll talk to you guys next week. Find us on the recap show, all of the other shows, and hopefully we are 4-2 and not 3-3, because I might be looking for a new gig or something else to podcast about. No one's going to be listening. We'll talk to you then. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.